coverage of SES is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.
One of the first presentations we had the opportunity to see this morning had to do with RSS and blogging, and the first individual we heard speak was Amanda Watlington from searchingforprofit.com, and she spoke largely about how blogging fits into the whole searching scheme, and she mentioned an interesting number and seemed quite excited about RSS having only 5% penetration at this point. But that excited you, Amanda. Now, why is that?
The reason it excited me so much, Chris, is very simple. It is already creating so many, if you will, waves in the industry that as more people adopt it, we can see both more uses for it coming into play because the people will get better results from it, and we can see far more more readers coming online, and people will be able to get at content a lot faster. It also makes content further in the center of the web equation. The content, we've always said since the web began that content was king. Now with blogs and feeds, content really is king because people can get content the way they want it. It's as this morning's keynote said, it is the my media, and I am extremely excited by that.
Yeah, but 5% doesn't seem to be very big.
But 5% is growing very rapidly. If you think about it, back in the old days, it was interesting listening this morning and thinking that it was just 10 years ago that I first submitted to Yahoo. I was excited about it. We live in times where the adoption rates on technology are astounding. You look at how many people just a year ago or even 2 years ago were carrying Trios or similar such multi types of media. Now, everywhere I go, I feel left out with my new Bluetooth phone because I don't have a Trio with a color screen and everything else. It's that kind of adoption rates that we can expect. And as marketers, the shift to being able to communicate in a different way with our audience. You think about it. Somebody subscribes. They're giving us permission to market to them in a way that is absolutely unparalleled. When somebody opts in to receive a newsletter, they still opt in. They still have to do a whole lot more activities. When they opt in for that feed, they're opting in for you to send it any time. And they've said, I am prepared. Bring it on.
Now, searchingforprofit.com, is that just a static website, or is there something dynamic to it?
Searchingforprofit.com is a placeholder. I have not done anything to the site. I have, frankly, for reasons that, a lot of reasons, I have been in stealth mode for over a year. I've got 7 or 8 blogs. Good luck if you try to find them. They're hidden. They've been sandboxes. I recently launched a new blog. It's a typepad blog. It's amandawatlington.typepad.com. It's called Blogs and Feeds. It's where I'm going to, henceforth particularly, put in anything that intrigues me and bring out some of the technology I've been playing with, like audio blogging. I would like to ultimately video blog to it. And it's really going to be a showcase for just what I'm seeing and where it's going. I'm just finishing, one of the reasons I've not been very visible, is that I've been writing a new book. I've been writing a book on blogs. It's Business Blogs, A Practical Guide. It's designed really for the people who are standing still going, should I or shouldn't I? That's the biggest thing we've encountered is people going, should I have a blog? What should I do? We interviewed 70 bloggers, not just A-list bloggers. That would have been too easy. We went out and we looked for innovative businesses that were using blogs. It includes, for instance, an in-depth interview with a sign company in northern Vermont that the gentleman takes pictures of his signs as he finishes them, and it's a custom sign business. It is accelerating his business as people can watch the signs and see the signs and can actually interact with his business. We also have some nonprofits, some large corporate bloggers, and the thing which we found is that the most important thing with blogs is to separate the concept of it being just all about publication media. It's really all about what we've heard for 5 years, ever since the publication of The Clue Train, is that it's a one-to-one marketing. It is enjoying a conversation with your customer. And it's really being in conversation, whether you're hearing bad news or good news. Yesterday, there was a panel on sensing your audience. Even if you're getting bad information, as with the Kryptonite lock incident, you should still be hearing that. And companies should be in the conversation, not just waiting for it to come up and swell up like a big tsunami on them, but rather as in-depth with the conversation themselves. If you're in the conversation deeply, you can react more quickly, cut it off before it becomes a problem. Also, if you're sensitive the conversation is going around you, you will be much more active about putting things out that will enhance the conversation.
If I can quote you on this, you said that RSS is a disruptive technology. What makes you believe this?
I am as excited about RSS as I was when I first started doing things in the internet. And it's because of the shift, and it's the shift to asking for content versus the chance that content will go through. I look at search marketing, and I've been in search marketing for now almost 10 years. If you stop and you think about it, you used to wait, used to hope your pages would get indexed, pray for mercy in the Google dances, and then you would hope that you had guessed right and that the user intuited right, whatever you wanted to do, and that the user would enter a query and get your information. With RSS, that entire equation flips on its head. The user now says, I am giving you permission to market to me. The first task, and this is where I see the next wave, is going to be getting people to subscribe, catching them that first time so that they give you that permission so that you can then market to them. That's why I think it's disruptive, is instead of it being a passive relationship where you hoped that the consumer would come look for you, you now have got the ticket to ride. You can now actively market to that consumer in a way that's never been possible.
You use the word market and marketing almost warmly, but every bit of experience I've ever had with the word has been just the opposite, as in cold and prickly.
Ah, I look at marketing from a very positive light, and it's partly tied to the definition that I use for marketing. We often get lost in marketing as tactics, and then it gets real cold and it gets real sort of mucky. If you think about marketing from the classic definition of anything that facilitates the interchange of whatever it is, whether it be the exchange of a consumer going to purchase an item or a consumer giving a vote to a politician, there is an exchange, and that exchange is based on some kind of information. I look at marketing as the development and dissemination of that information and that relationship that creates the exchange. It's all tied to making some kind of exchange that is mutually beneficial occur.
An exchange with a consumer or a person?
A person, yes. Not necessarily a consumer. We're all consumers in one form or another. I'm a consumer when I sit down and read a paper. And that's why I actually take serious issue with the term consumer-generated content as relating to blogs. Consumer-generated content, let's be serious. If journalists aren't also consumers, there's robots writing in every newsroom in the country. I doubt that. That's a ludicrous thought. But we're all consumers in one form or another.
Fair enough. Thanks for your time, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Coverage of SES is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.